You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
Did you hear that?
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical. When I came out here, I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things, if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand, and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Out in the swamps, what you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on his cypress knee, and he was talking to Moccasin Joe. Where the party gonna hell? Out in the St. John's swamps. Sasquatch doing a brand new dance, and he called it the Bigfoot Stomp.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Viscardi. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Viscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill. Tom is attending funeral arrangements and other things for his relative that passed away here last Sunday, and he won't be on tonight. He wanted to thank everybody for the prayers and for all the well wishes everybody gave him. It's been kind of a trying time for him and the family. Tonight, Rocky is going to host a show with me, and we're going to take you through some pretty interesting things, I think, with Swede, who is one of Rocky's running, he's Rocky's best running mate there. And also, we'll talk with TJ and some others. First of all, though, one of the things I'd like to do, I'd like to bring your attention to a few things. As you know, every week we go through weight control program, or NorCal solutions. And what I wanted to bring your attention to is, it'll probably be 2 weeks, but we're going to have a separate show on that. I'll give you all the details. We'll publish it all out. And there'll be a separate show. It'll be on a Thursday night between 7 and 8 p.m. Pacific time. And we'll have a whole host of things on there to cover the NorCal program, in which we cover currently in a portion of this show. Another thing that I wanted to bring your attention to is our new store. We put links up. If you go to www.BigfootLiveRadioShow.com BigfootLiveRadio.com, and you'll come up to the webpage, and you take a look, and it'll say store. Go in, there's a new link. It's a completely new store. It has the T-shirts in it. You'll also see that the link goes to the store on the T-shirts on the webpage where it says T-shirts. I haven't changed the pictures yet, but the link to order is right there, and it goes right to the store as well. So there's a couple of new things that we posted up there. Another thing is we have a lot of things that go on, and more recently we've had quite a few things taking place here, and it made it a little more difficult for Tom and some other members of the team to do a lot of different things because they're tied up in a lot of red tape with a lot of other things. Right now, I just ask you for your patience, but we have a lot of things going on, and we want to share those with you. There's quite a bit of things that are coming up, and we're going to ensure that each one of you get the best that we can probably give you. Now, tonight, let's go talk to Rocky here. And Rocky, how are you tonight, my friend?
Well, I'm doing really, really good, and I'm glad to hear that you are, and I'd like for everybody to say a little prayer for Tom and his family. They're going through hard times.
Yeah, that's true. Well, Rocky, you know, I tell you what, let's start out. There's a lot of activity going on all over the United States and a couple other countries as well. I got some emails. I wasn't able. You know, we have an organization in Australia, and this guy wants to come on the show, but the time difference and all the other things that go, you know, that go on there. But in Australia, they have what they call the Yowie. And it's more of an aggressive, and not as large as a creature, but it's more aggressive. And he's spent most of his life, researching that creature. But he sent me a couple of emails over the years, and I just got one again about a couple of weeks ago. And he wanted to touch base. I sent him emails, and we send emails back and forth. But the time difference and all the other stuff that goes on makes it difficult for him to tie in to the show. I'm going to try to find a way to do that for him, maybe in the next couple of weeks, and we can have him on. But it'd be nice to hear him. He's got some really outstanding information and things on the Yowie. As well, there's several areas where people have had encounters as well. And I'm telling you, it's amazing how much these encounters have picked up over this past year. The weather and all these other things have changed, and it's just causing, I guess, maybe consternation and bewilderment into the creatures to where they don't even know what season it is or anything else. Instead of migrating, they're staying, and instead of staying, they're migrating. They're doing all kinds of crap. So it's amazing. It's an amazing thing, and a lot of people getting a chance to have an encounter where they normally probably wouldn't. And it's a thing. And the thing about one thing I wanted to tell everybody, you know, when we have the people on this show, you know, when the people have an encounter, everybody asks me the same kind of questions. Well, how come you didn't take a picture? My friends, I've got to tell you something. Now, there are some people that, actually go out to research and take pictures of these creatures, and they do occasionally get one. But I got to tell you, when most of the people, when they have an encounter, they're not expecting to have an encounter. It just happens. And when it happens, it's such a changing moment in their life that they're scared. They can hardly breathe. They don't know whether to run or what to do. And they're just kind of motionless. Now, you've had those dreams, you know, the one where you can't get away and you're crawling, you know, So it's an amazing thing. But anyway, I just wanted to bring your attention that we do have a lot of action going on. And we will be, getting some of that action on the radio shows for you folks to hear. We like to do that. We want to make sure that you guys get every chance to find out what the real deal is really about. Rocky, I want to go through, if you don't mind, I'm just going to go through our weight reduction program here just for a few minutes.
Absolutely.
With everybody. Well, we got your Kumi, you're on there, right?
Yes. Hello?
Kumi, how are you doing?
I'm doing great.
Well, tell us a little bit about what's happened this week.
Well, I've lost a total of 22 pounds.
Good God. That's pretty good. How many weeks?
I think this is my fifth week.
Wow. And any good... tell us some of the things that you're experiencing.
Well, I had to buy some new clothes.
That's a good thing.
And I really didn't realize how much weight I lost until I sent Tom pictures today.
Wow. Amazing. A lot of people don't realize, and we call this a diet, but it's really not a diet. It's a lifestyle change, and in the way that you approach eating food, and eventually what it does is it works your way into the actual, so that you're going to continue this for the rest of your life. And they supply, NorCal supplies so much stuff to help you do that. The meal charts, the meal planning, the food lists, the focus charts, all of these, the CD recordings and things, and they give you so many different things. Isn't that true?
Yes, it is true.
And so it's more than just going in, I've been on diets my life, for most of my life, probably you can't tell because you can't see me, but if you were to look at me, you'd say, well, you've never lost a pound in your life. And I see by this system, the system is very similar to, I'm on what they call a renal diet, just because I have severe kidney problems right now, and they put you on a renal diet so that you don't retain fluid and do all these other things. And the renal diet is very similar to what this lifestyle changing is. How's your energy level?
My energy level is very high. I've been on many diets for the last 10 years, and none of them really worked. I've probably tried every diet pill ever made, every diet pill that you can buy on the market, as well as by every doctor, and they work until you get off of them.
Yeah.
And then all the weight comes back. This here is very easy. You don't really crave a whole lot, and the weight comes off.
That's stupendous, I'll tell you. The thing that I noticed, I can't take it until my doctor approves it, and it's not that the doctor isn't going to approve it. It's just that I only see the doctor once a week or once every 2 weeks, and I had to wait until this week to see him, and he's going to review my thing and allow me to get going on it, and then I'll start, and I'll be giving my little status in there too. But I've read through everything, and it is a very, very a well brought out plan. It has everything you need and more to keep you on, focused on doing what you need to do to lose the weight. And the big thing that most other programs never do is this is what you would call a lifestyle change. And once you get to a certain point on this thing, you shift over to where this lifestyle change is a continuous thing, and you switch into other foods, but you maintain the same thing. And eating six times a day, believe it or not, is the most healthy thing you can do. I'm a diabetic as well as that, and you have to eat those small meals a day to keep your blood sugar levels at an even rate with the medications you take for diabetes. And this plan does exactly that, the same thing that I'm doing through my nutritionist in the hospital. And so I really, I'm really interested in getting started on this.
Right.
Kumi,
I don't have a thyroid, and I'm also anemic. So this has actually worked very well for not having a thyroid and being anemic. So losing weight has always been an issue since not having a thyroid and being anemic and going through all the different diets. It's been really hard to lose weight. So this has actually worked.
Wow, that's good too. It's good to hear. Well, thank you, Kumi. I want to thank you for your time tonight. And I'm just going to mute you out here, but hang in there. And Tom will be back next week. keep going. You're doing so good. My gosh, I can't believe it.
Great.
Take care.
Thank you. Okay.
Well, Sarah, how are you?
I am good. I am good.
How are you doing? Tell us a little bit about you.
Well, I have lost 23.6 pounds in 5 weeks. And, this is my busiest season of the year. I actually have to, stop in the middle of projects and eat my snack or stop and have my lunch. But I'm staying on the plan because it's working. And, I see different people sometimes only once a year. And I've had a lot of people saying, "What did you do?" Because... I look a lot different. I am down to a size 8. I'll never go below a size 8, but you can see the difference in my face. You can see it in my figure. The hourglass is coming back, and I haven't seen an hourglass figure in the mirror since I was, for about 25 years. So it's awesome. I can't say enough about it. I love the food that you're allowed to eat. I love the amount the number of times a day that you eat. You if you follow the plan, you don't get hungry because you stay where you've got something in your stomach all the time.
Yeah, I know. That's a neat thing about it. That's what I do for the renal diet, but within the renal diet, this is even better because the foods that they have, the listing of foods are very, very extensive, and no carbs, no sugars, but they tell you all the things that you can, and there's just so many choices, and they're not bad choices. I'm talking good stuff. And
they're very high nutrient foods,
yeah.
And a lot of taste.
Yeah, well, lean protein, fruits and vegetables, and
yeah.
That's the best combination I think you can get, to take off the pounds and your body just kind of loses it real quick. And the amazing thing is it's fat that's lost. It's not muscle. It's not muscle or water. It's fat.
Yeah, and the fact that it is fat shows in the mirror. It shows in how your clothing fits. And it shows in the fact that you have to buy new clothing because your clothing doesn't fit anymore. It's, I can't say enough about the system. It works amazing. And like Kumi, I have tried lots of diets. I've lost weight and then gained it back several times. But this one, I know I'm going to be able to keep on this for the rest of my life.
Well, and that's one of the amazing things about it. Once you get used to doing it, it becomes a habit. But the food differences, the different kinds of food that you can eat makes it simple. You can even go to a restaurant. This is no kidding. You can go to a restaurant and order your meal based on their food list and come out doing the right thing. That's really amazing. That's what I think is amazing about it. So, and what's your dress size now?
It's size 8.
Wow. That's really good.
Yeah.
Well, I want to thank you, Sarah, for coming on tonight. I'm going to
you're welcome.
Mute you out, and we're going to go and we're going to talk to Rocky. Well, Rocky, what do you think? What's your
thank you. I can't say enough about it. I'm glad it is working for the girls the way it is. My goal was I was going to get down to 190 pounds. Well, I kind of overshot that. I got on the scale this morning, and I was 187 pounds, which is about 30 pounds in 30 days.
Wow.
and I can actually see some abs and obliques and stuff. I've lost 6 inches in my waist. I've lost everywhere except my hat size.
And how do you feel?
I can go 100 miles an hour, biggest part of the day.
That's what's neat about this.
The energy level is always high. I don't go hungry. I just can't say enough good about it because it has. I used to do bodybuilding contests when I was younger, and the diet that I'd have to do to do all that was horrible. It was an awful thing. It was the hardest part of it. And then I started on this one, and like I say, I've gone from 217 down to 187 in 30 days. And I can run faster and jump higher and dive deeper and come up drier. And back before, I own a restaurant, so I would walk past the potato chip thing and, well, I better have a few. It's been some time since I've touched any of that kind of stuff. I don't crave it. Bread was always, I had to have bread. Well, I haven't had bread in 30 days. I haven't had cheese in 30 days, but what I'm eating is good nutritional food. I don't go hungry. It tastes good. And the 6 times a day thing, hey, I'm all for that. My goal was 190. And I'm at 187 now, so I'm going to stay at it and just see where it takes me from here.
Wow, that's pretty good. Well, what I noticed by looking through the menus and things in the food lists, first of all, there's a large range of vegetables that you can take. There's also a large range of proteins like meats and fish.
Yeah.
And I mean a large range of meats and fish. And if you follow those lists, I don't think there's anything you can't have. Instead of having a hamburger with a bun, they've got a really neat recipe in there for just a hamburger with lettuce. And that's very similar if you ever went In-N-Out. I always order the protein burger, which is, you know, they wrap it in lettuce, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty much the same thing, except that they all the things that you eat are fresh juices, not juices, fresh fruits and fresh vegetables. And you take those vegetables and you make them into other kinds of things. And, you know, organic is preferred, but not necessary, but no sugars. And it's really neat, no carbs. It's really, but they're really good. I mean, it's very similar to the renal diet that I'm on, except in the renal diet that I'm on, you know, some of the foods in the renal diet are, you know, have some of the bad stuff in it. But it's really a good, it's really a well thought out program. It's easy to follow. I went through the menus day by day. You follow that thing through and mark up the chart, and you've done it. I mean, it tells you everything you got to do and for every day. And every day you can eat something different. You know, a snack can be an apple, a pear, an orange. You know, well, not an orange, but an apple, a pear. It can be, you know, blueberries, raspberries, blackberries, strawberries. I mean, neat. And most people don't eat fruit. The reason I do is because it's part of my renal diet, and it teaches you in there that you need to eat a lot of fruit. So it's really, I've looked at that. I've been studying it for the last 2 weeks, and it has so much good things in it, and it looks like it's just so easy to follow through, and it has the instruments in there that help you keep on track, and that's what makes it so appealing to me.
Is that right? It's an easy diet to do, and like you said, I don't think it's so much it should be labeled a diet, but more a lifestyle change. I'm not able to. You know, as far as the time goes, I'm not able to hit the meals exactly on time every time, but I'm always close enough that, you know, I stay. I've been true to it, and like I say, six inches off the waist. Fortunately, I had a whole bunch of breeches from way back when. I'm still wearing the same size shirt, but definitely having to cinch up all my business.
Yeah, you told me you're wearing suspenders now.
Well, I finally, when I got back into my old skinny breeches, I kind of, with them, I got enough butt to hold them up. But but the others, they just drop down around my knees.
Oh, gosh. Well, I tell you what. Let's go to a commercial, and when we come back, how about you, TJ, and Swede get on here? We'll talk about some of the times you guys have had here.
All right.
Yeah.
'67, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks on the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that
I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot. I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
And we're back. Rocky, I want to put TJ on, and I'm going to put Sweet on.
All right.
Okay, guys, you're all on.
Hey,
you guys,
right.
TJ.
Get off, Rocky.
Hey, you TJ. Doing? Hey, TJ. Sweet.
Hey. Well, okay. I talked to Tom here a while back. Me and him was on the phone. We was talking about the, you know, how everything kind of came to be. Of course, you know, I had a little encounter once upon a time down in the shadow of a nuclear facility. But me and the Swede, we have our little place in the world that we just, I mean, we go there just to be away from the rest of the world. TJ's been there. It's a great place. It's definitely out of the way. It kind of started just little things happening with us. We found, you know, stuff missing out of our camp. We had it was just a ball of string line wrapped around a little hard cardboard tube. Well, we always used that stuff to put our water catches up, you know, just a little piece of Visqueen or plastic bag or anything like that, that we would just kind of make a funnel out of, tie it up and tie it to trees, and it'd catch all the dew, and we'd have plenty of fresh water the next morning for coffee. And, one day I started to, we'd been out riding. I went to put the water catches up before we went to bed, and when I went to get my string line, it was gone. Well, Robert said, the Swede told me, he said, yeah, you laid it on the hood of your truck. Well, it wasn't there. We looked everywhere and never did find it. Well, it wasn't any big deal. We got by. The next day we went out, and it was we had ridden about 3/4 mile and came around the corner, and there's this great big wadded up ball of string laying beside the trail. It's in August. It was dry, no footprints, anything like that. But there was the ball of string line minus the little cardboard tube. Well, we don't know of any animal that would be interested in a ball of string. There was no tracks as far as four-wheelers going in, because there's springs out there that run year-round, and you don't go through there without having to cross them. No four-wheelers have been through there, no people footprints, nothing. Well, we didn't think anything about it. We just blew it off, and there was just, you know, just little occurrences. And then one night, while me and the Swede were asleep, something walked into our camp and took my my cooler full of fruit and just made off with it. Well, the cooler was tied into a tree. It was about 10 feet off the ground, and it was tied up there with 1,500-pound test paracord. Well, the paracord was broken. We never heard anything. So when I found that it was gone, I was throwing a cussing fit. The Swede was laughing at me. He walked off down the way, and that's when we found footprints. There were six of them, right foot, left foot. I think it was the left foot was missing a big toe. We searched, and hours later we found my cooler. It was destroyed, but all the fruit was gone. Not a sign of a peeling or anything. Well, the tracks were pretty obvious. I mean, on the road, out through the brush, they weren't quite so obvious that you could tell that something big had gone through there. And, Swede?
Yeah.
Are you on, Swede?
Yeah.
Okay. Tell them about what happened that night after we set up our ambush.
Well, we had made a plan to stake out the camp, and we took some we'd taken some sewing thread. Of course, that's kind of my business, so I keep that on hand all the time. Anyway, we run a perimeter line up around about, oh, I don't know, as high as up as we could reach it, somewhere in the 7-foot zone, somewhere in there, all the way around our camp. And Rocky had set him up a little hidey hole there on one side of the camp there, kind of in the central location, and then I had a little kind of a hidey hole set up over on the edge where it kind of up on a little ridge, and it drops off pretty drastically. I was right on the edge of that drop-off there where I could look back on the camp and still look off that side a little bit. And we had a little half moon, or a little better than a half moon, wasn't it, Rocky? A little pretty good moon, not full. But
it was pretty bright.
But we was in the woods in the canopy, but in that little opening there, the moonlight was shining down. And we sat there. All of a sudden, I've never heard it coming or nothing. I just saw this large figure walk right up to the edge of that clearing and stop. And it's like I've told so many people, you know, somebody get out there in the deer woods and you sit there and you look at a buck for maybe a minute, it seems like forever. Well, I truly looked at this thing for 15 minutes and was second guessing myself whether I'd even, if there was even anything there. That's how long it stood there. And finally, it kind of did a little bit of a, they're standing right there by that, right there at the edge of that perimeter, and it kind of moved forward a little bit. Then I saw it move and I thought, wow, I definitely did see something. And it kind of did a little bit of a sideways, kind of a little rocking thing there for just a second, and it kind of stepped back. Well, when it stepped back, I had a revolver there, and I had already had it cocked. I had enough moonlight I could see the front sight, and I fired off a round. Of course, like Rocky calls it, Little Hiroshima, there was such a fireball from it and the blast, I couldn't hear anything, couldn't see anything. Wasn't sure what happened. Rocky run over there where I was at, and he said, "Are you all right?" And I said, I can't see. Of course, I was blindfolded.
Okay. Let me step in here for just a second. while all this was going on, Tom had had Rod Price call me, and I was sitting there trying to talk to him, trying to get off of the phone. I had my cell phone up in this little hideout, and then when the gunshot went off, it looked like somebody had set off a major explosion over there. I ran down there, and before I even got to the camp, I was back on the phone to Tom. When I got down there, the deal was something happened. We meet in the middle of camp. The Swede was not there. And so I called out for him, and he said, I'm over here. And I said, well, so come here. And he said, I can't, but I can't see. All he could see was just a big white ball in front of his, you know, in front of his eyes. So I had to go get him out. And anyhow, he had fired the shot. Unfortunately, he killed a small tree that was kind of that was in the way. There was three trees there. And we worked, we tried everything. We found tracks. We found where it had slipped when it tried to take off running. You could see where it had stepped across, and it's just its heel had dug in, but it slipped again, and then there was another imprint, looked like a knee. And so we were convinced that we had it. And so what was it? We went nonstop without any sleep or anything. That was Sunday. It was midnight when that all took place.
Yeah, it was all in it was up into the next day before we even give it up. And
well, the thing of it is, we stayed on it and didn't even come back until I didn't get back till Wednesday morning.
No, we stayed with it. We only found some. We did find a little bit of blood, but it wasn't from that. It was something else's blood. I got to tell you, anybody can tell you, and I'm not ashamed to talk about it. At the time, it was kind of weird, but I had sat there and watched that thing for the 15 minutes, and I could kind of hear Rocky over there a little bit every now and then speaking on the phone. It was completely silent in the dark. And that thing, that creature was just standing there at the perimeter of the camp. And for 15 minutes sitting there with the big blast of adrenaline, after firing a shot and getting up there, I kind of lost my lunch. But that was okay. But anybody tells you that if you handle a lot of pressure in my life, but I had so much adrenaline from that episode that that's the one and only time that's ever happened to me. But it did happen, and we saw that when we finally did come back to the camp, we saw where that thread had been broken. He walked right into that thread and broke it right there. Rocky detected it. I had forgot about it. But we tracked that thing down through. We thought it had went down the least road of resistance, but it had got cleared about 100 yards from us, and then proceeded to go through some of the thickest impenetrable stuff, wasn't it, Rocky?
Oh yeah. Well, Tommy, are you on?
I am.
Okay, you know where I'm talking about.
Oh, I'm just sitting here thinking about, you know, the whole week and a half we spent up there in June. You know, exactly what happened, what was going on. You know, I mean, you know, we were excited to get up there. I mean, it was about time we got up with you, and I went and investigated this area, and it was you and me, and let's see, we had Doyle and Jeremy Gibson, and who's the one person I'm missing?
Steve.
That's
I think
right.
That's the one. I can't remember. He came with. It was Larry.
Yeah, it was Larry, wasn't it?
Yeah, got there. Well, you know, I mean, the area is just is so secluded. It's hours and hours and hours away from any civilization up there in the Arkansas Mountains, up in that national forest up there. It's amazing. And, you know, I mean, you don't expect to meet people out in the woods. And I think it must have been our second day. We were patrolling up towards Dead Lake, was it? Is that what it's called, Dead Lake?
Lake Dead.
Lake Dead.
Yeah.
And we come across that tent out in the middle of the woods. And we're like, well, that's kind of strange. And we kind of walk up to the guy. And, you know, we're being careful, you know, meeting somebody out in the woods in a tent. And, you know, we're trying to not talk about Bigfoot just to make sure he doesn't think we're crazy or nothing. And kind of figure out what he's doing. And I think the first thing he said to us was, so did you guys hear my friend last night? And we look at each other like, my friend? Yeah, didn't you hear him screaming and howling all night long? Which we did. That's why we were down in the area. And, you know, I guess it took 20 or 30 minutes. He finally friended up to us and explained to us how the creature lives down in that little area there. He's got a female and a baby in the area. And that, you know, they like him, he likes them, and they protect each other. And, I mean, it just blows me away. You know, you're out in the middle of the woods, and here's a guy that...
He said that he had seen the female and the juvenile, that he
right.
didn't want to see the male.
Right. He was worried about what the male might have done. That's right. That's right. Huh.
Tommy, it was really nice to come out there. You remember when I came out there, I was down in my back, could barely get around.
Yeah.
And it was so nice to meet you in person finally out there, and you had made it out to our little spot. I wish I could have been a little bit more use. It really killed me not to be able to get in on that whole deal and go down in there and stir around a little bit. But I was really proud that you got to come in and visit us here and check it out, because it is quite the spot.
Oh, it's more than quite the spot. Okay. It's more than quite the spot. I can't wait to get back. You know, we're going to get... Well, I mean, we had the vocalizations. I mean, if you're listening up there, you go to our searchingforbigfoot.com, and if you find the Arkansas expedition from 2015, we've got some SoundCloud bits up there of the creature vocalizing, but more in a way of a primate. You know, I mean, even Doyle.
Just right outside of camp.
Yeah. I mean, it was just amazing, you know, just right off the side of that hill where it's just that total drop-off you were talking about, Swede, was the first night. I guess it was about 1:08 in the morning when it started vocalizing right at us. And, you know,
the first time it was 12 minutes, it was 8 minutes after 12, and the second time it was like 20 minutes after 12.
Okay.
You know, Tommy, we've had a lot of people talk to us and say, well, we can't believe that you stay out here, that you all stay out here like this. You know, and that was kind of our base camp, you know, and we went down off in there and stayed considerable distance away from that base camp, you know, with very minimal amount of gear, miles from there, and people freak out about us being down in there. But there's a lot of wilderness there, and there's a lot of stuff to see. I don't know what all you got to see, if you got to see the pawpaw forest or the overhang or any of that. But it's just so
we're
many.
Down to the overhang there where the river meets the wall, and then it's like a cave in the background there. I love that area.
That's where the fish trap is.
Yeah, that was 4 hours to get down to that.
That was where the fish trap was, and it was just not too awful far from where we had found the grub tree, where something had been peeling the bark back and digging the side of the tree, getting grubs, but they was using an old shed deer antler, and when they'd get done, they would push the bark back up and prop it up with sticks.
Oh, I remember, yeah.
and then hide the deer antler inside there. The deer antler was literally inside that. That's, you know, bears are pretty ingenuitive, you know, as far as it goes of getting into trouble and stuff, but I've never seen one use a tool and then put it back, you know. That's kind of unique, and, you know. But I'm not saying there couldn't have been a man out there doing it, but we didn't see any sign of a man being there.
Sure.
So we can't wait for you to come back out again, Tommy. We'll the bow season has winded down here in Arkansas, and it's time for us to get our plans together and get back ready for the August. You know, that's a really hot time for us to go down there. We've been down in there, you know, since, you know, we go down in there all the time, but I mean, to really seriously get back on our baiting and try to do some research and capture some video or even better, you know what I'm talking about. But,
well, I tell you, when I was out there with Tommy, I was driving, but he was seeing things off to the side of the road up in the woods that I would have just driven right past. He found tree breaks broken in weird ways. I would have driven on past. I wouldn't have paid any attention to him. But Tommy was hawking everything.
That's where we need the education, Rocky. We're not knowing what we're looking for.
Well, you know, I
go ahead.
I do a lot of research, and I look what everybody's doing, and I listen to what everybody's saying, and possibilities of, you know, tree twists and breaks and what they could be, what they couldn't be. You know, I mean, am I a firm believer of it? Unless I see a Bigfoot doing it, I can't say it's nothing but just a Bigfoot because I didn't see it happen. But there were trees up in the sides of the mountains there that were bent over at 6-7 foot, you know, in opposite directions, almost like a barrier, like this is the direction we need to go, you know, things like that. The saplings that would be yanked up out of the ground and then broken off on the end and then stuck into the ground upside down. Why would a human do it? I don't know. Maybe they're bored, but some of these saplings were, you know, probably close to 100 pounds that were turned upside down. Just didn't make sense, you know.
Well, you know, you talk about barriers and maybe, you know, pointing where the way to go. You know, when me and the Swede made our walk from Calico Rock to Mountainburg, turned out it was about 225 miles, something that I'll never do again. At one point, we found, I don't know, it was like 6 or 7 trees that had been broken off and carried over and leaned up against another tree. They were all, I mean, they were like 200-300 yards apart, but they were all pointing in the same direction, leaned up in the same direction, going up this little, well, it was just kind of like a game trail. But anyhow, it pointed us all the way up, and it ended just before we got to the road, and then we never saw them again. We thought that was kind of a strange occurrence.
Oh, it's absolutely strange, and you know, you can only speculate on what it means. As, hey, this is a road; stay away from it. Hey, skirt the road this direction. You know, these skeeters have their own way of communicating. I'm sure of that. They're intelligent enough to want to stay away from us because, you know, they know all we want to do is either kill it or try to disturb it. So, like all the other animals out in the woods, you know, I don't 100% think they realize that their footprints and their tracks, they give them away. So, you know, that's why they're there. That's why we see them. And with everything going on in the USA with all the weather and stuff going on right now, I saw a study in Texas where the calcite and the potassium levels of the ground is where all the big sightings are happening, which makes a lot of sense. It's where the fauna is going to grow, the fruit's going to grow, the animals are going to get their vitamins. So maybe they have found themselves a little secluded areas where they're just going to sit back, enjoy, where they don't have to travel. I mean,
Well, you know, that little area that me and the Swede always go to, I'm convinced that if I wanted to go out there and just never come back, I could live quietly and well.
Yeah, without a doubt.
You know, something that I need to say is I got my new black Searching for Bigfoot t-shirt. And everybody needs to check those out. I loved it. I'm not going to wear it to work, but I'll definitely be wearing it out. It's the coolest shirt you've ever seen. That being said, you know, the Shopping for Bigfoot thing, y'all need to check it out.
Well, I got the greatest shirt. I mean, I'm going to be frank and honest. The white ones we had were great as they lasted, but black long sleeve really does the trick.
Now, I'm telling you.
That's nice.
I want, you know, when you and Tom came, we didn't get the close-in vocalizations like we did when you and Doyle came. But we did find Jeremy took off a foot to Lake Dead, and we were kind of worried about him, so we went up the way following him, trying to find him, and we found footprints cutting across that little logging road.
Yeah.
And I saw the one in my headlights and stopped, and we was all out looking at that. And then I don't remember who it even was. Said, well, look at here. We walked back, and there was a footprint on the right side of his four-wheeler and on the left side of his four-wheeler.
Yeah, that was me.
Okay, yeah, well, I couldn't remember if that was you or...
Yeah.
But we have a pretty active area.
Yeah.
And we're really looking forward to y'all to come back down there, because you only saw the part on the one side of the trail. There's a whole bunch more down on the other side that for me and the Swede have found strangeness.
Tommy, well, did you get to see the pawpaw patch?
Yes,
We went through it,
but it wasn't bearing anything at the time.
No, but you can see how that would be. You can see how the trees, the characteristics of the trees, how they have to be skinned over in a bear would tear them all to pieces, and when they were skinned over, Tommy, they were just skinned over so easily without any scuff marks on the bark at all, you know? Just a really cool experience.
Absolutely. Well, you know, the season's coming up here again. We're going to be out there again with you guys, and we're going to do something. We're going to hopefully try to capture this creature and at least get him on video this time, because I think he's getting used to us. So, you know, he'll allow us in this area.
Well, you know, I kind of learned that, you know, we've never, me and the Swedes never had a campfire.
Yeah.
But the first time that we had a campfire in that area, two different nights, we had the thing come up almost to camp. The first time it wasn't more than 35 yards out of camp, and the second time it might have been 50 yards.
Well, they're curious, you know. They're just like us. They're human. The human beings are curious creatures, and so are these creatures. And that's, you know, what I feel is going to get them. Well, I think we're coming up here on the end of the show. So, Marco?
Yeah, we're coming up at the end of the show. I want to thank everybody for coming on tonight and sharing. And also,
thanks for having us.
Well, it's always a pleasure to have you folks on there. And we're going to see everybody next week. Tom should be back next week. And Yeah. And what I always say is keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pack that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they die. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monsters, myths, and mysteries, legend, tales, and facts.